anybody else trickles in, that'll be great. First of all, my name is Sandy Nicolaitis. I go to Calvary Chapel La Mirada. And I am going to be sharing about control because I think I am, you know, I probably can argue with a lot of you, I'm probably the worst control freak in the entire world. And so when I was actually, when the retreat came up, I wasn't even going to come to the retreat this year. I had not intended on coming, and my husband signed me up. He signed me up about 4 weeks ago. And then about a week and a half ago, Lisa asked me to teach a workshop, and I'm like, what? Okay, I know the Lord is doing this for me, for you, to encourage you. And it's like I have been praying so much about this. It's like, okay, Lord, this is how you're answering my prayer. So I will submit and I will do this. And he's taught me a lot through it. So I want to share with you what the Lord has been teaching me in the area of control and surrendering control to him. All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just thank you so much for bringing us to this place. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for this beautiful retreat, for this conference center. I thank you for all the women that have shared their hearts. I thank you for the messages that you have given to them to share with all these other women. It's not by chance that these women are here this weekend or even in this room right now. You have a divine appointment with them right now, Lord, and I fully believe that. And Lord, I just pray now that you would bless them, that you would use my words to encourage them, Lord, that what is spoken is not from me but from you, and that your Holy Spirit would just totally take over, Lord, and speak through me. I pray you would just through to each person in the place that they're at, and that they would receive what you have for them, Lord. So we give this time to you, this short time that we have, and I just thank you for choosing us, for loving us, and thank you for what you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be talking about, obviously, control. And first of all, I want to talk about two things, surrender and control, and what the definition of surrender is. I know that Lisa last night gave a lot of different definitions of surrender. I'm going to only give you, I think you have some handouts to write a few things down. I'm going to give you a couple definitions of what surrender means. One is to give oneself up as into the power of another, to submit or yield. So to give oneself up into the power of another, to submit or yield. Then another meaning is to give up, abandon, or relinquish. So there's two meanings, to give up, abandon, or relinquish. That's to surrender, to give completely up, just to give it up. Now for a definition of control. Definition of control is the act of power of controlling, regulation, domination, or command. So it's the act of power of controlling, regulation, domination, or command. Those things are two opposites, wouldn't you say? I mean, you can't give it up and then take power of it. Take control of it. Those are complete opposites. They're in complete opposite of each other. So my question to you is, who is in control? Who's in control? God, right? Wouldn't we all say God's in control? Can I see a show of hands? Everybody, yeah. Okay. So we all know God's in control, right? But do we really live like God's in control? No. We live like Stacy was saying, grabbing that wheel, trying to take charge. You know, we're, oh, Lord, no, Lord, it's getting a little bumpy. We got to take control. So, and I know Stacy talked about this. It's amazing because a lot of the things that have been talked about are some things that the Lord has laid on my heart that I was going to share with you also. And so one of the questions is, why do we want to be in control? If we know that God is fully in control and is capable, then why would we want to be in control? One of the reasons is we want things our way. We, plain and simple, we want things to go our way. So that's one reason, right? We don't like it when things don't go our way. We're uncomfortable. It's not fun. Selfish. That's me anyways. I like it when things, it's my way or the highway in my house, you know. And if mom's not happy, nobody's happy. You know, a woman can set the tone in her home. I can walk into my house after work and everybody can be just fine and happy. And if I come in, and because I'm such a control freak, if things, I'm a neat freak. If things are just not as they're supposed to be, I have an attitude. And that just puts everybody in a bad mood. So I have a lot of control in my house. I have a lot of power in that control. And so I want things my way. And then I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Why did I do that? Now I've started my whole night with my family out wrong. I have to say I'm sorry. And then, yeah, sure, Mom, whatever, you know. And then I have to go to my husband and, you know, and it's just a vicious cycle. And it's like, why do I do that? Why do I want things my way so badly? Another reason we want to be in control is, and I think this is a big one, we're really afraid of what others will think of us, what they're going to think of us, what they're going to think of our children, what they're going to think of our family. I think I'm freaking out because I'm standing here and what you're going to think of me. You know, it's just we are really afraid of what others are going to think of us. So we try to keep control because if we do it right, everybody's going to think we're okay, right? Then the big one is plain and simple, we don't like trials. You know, even though we're supposed to find joy in our trials, we don't like trials. We don't like to hurt. We don't like to be uncomfortable. When things get out of control in our life, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts a lot. There's some things that go on that get so out of control, it's very painful. And so we hold on to them so tightly because we just want to control them because we don't want to hurt. We don't want our families to hurt. And then it just gets really, really out of control. But let's look at what it says in scriptures about these things. So let's look at James 1, 2 through 3 right now. And by the way, I know Lisa talked, you know, last night she was using NIV and New King James and all that. I'm using NIV, just so you know that. So that's the translation I study out of, and that's the one I'm using today. So, James 1, 2 through 3, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Okay, let's look at that. Okay, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face many trials, right? When you face trials. Okay, we don't like trials. We want control. We don't like trials. We're supposed to find joy in them? It's like, am I supposed to, when something, you know, my marriage is falling apart, I'm having financial problems, my kids are out of control, oh, praise the Lord, I'm supposed to find joy in that? That's not at all what the Lord's talking about here. What he's talking about is finding joy in the fact that through our perseverance, our faith will strengthen. We can find joy even in that because we know God is in control. So we will be strengthened through that. Our faith will strengthen. We will find strength in perseverance. Also, it says there, if you notice, and this is circled in my Bible, it says you face trials of many kinds. Not one, not two, but many. There are going to be things in your life that come, and there's not going to be just one. There's going to be a lot of trials. So we need to persevere. And as we persevere through a trial, it just makes us stronger and stronger to be able to trust the Lord and persevere through the next trial. So that's what he means by that there. And then in James 1:12, let's turn over to James 1:12. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man. Happy. Another word for blessed, happy. Happy is man who perseveres under trial because he's going to receive the crown of life. That doesn't even necessarily mean the crown of life in eternal glory. That's the crown of life now. God has life for us. He has life and he has abundant life for us. And if we persevere under these trials, these things that we try to control, he's going to give us the crown of life. We're going to find joy. We're going to have life, and we're going to have it more abundant. So I just, you know, those are just a couple of the reasons we try to be in control. But what God says about that, you know, about the trials, the things going on with us. And even, you know, if you go to Genesis, Joseph, you know, I mean, hello, his brothers threw him in a pit. What would you do? If you got out of that pit and you had the ability to come down on them and cause them harm, what would you have done? I probably would have been really ticked off. I mean, knowing me, I would have been like, that's not happening. But what did Joseph say? He said, you intended harm. You intended harm to me, right? But God intended it for good. So there are things that we look at and we think, oh, this is so harmful. This is hurting me. It's not good. But you know what? God means it for good. there's good. He is good. He's a good God. And there's a lot that he has for us that we have to go through, but we will receive a lot of good. I'm going to share some of my story with you. And this is going to be kind of, I should have probably brought some Kleenex, but it's going to be a little bit difficult for me. A lot of you know me from church, and there's a lot of things that I've gone through in the last couple years that just blew my mind. I can't even believe. I couldn't have looked at my life 5 years ago and said that that was going to happen to me. I would have been like, no way will that happen to me. But I was taken through these trials, and I just really feel like the Lord is going to use them in a mighty way. First of all, I've been married for 33 years. I have a dear husband. He is a wonderful man. He's a great husband, a great father. But a lot of things have happened. We weren't married. When we got married, we didn't know the Lord. We were heathen, the worst of the heathen, let me tell you. We had children 6 years after marriage. My husband and I were having marital problems, separated. I came to know the Lord during a separation from him. God got a hold of my heart in a mighty way, and I had a faith of a child at that time. I remember when I was separated from my husband, coming back, this was many years ago, and he was doing drugs, alcohol, things of that sort. And I remember just laying myself out on the floor with that childlike faith and just praying that the Lord would just move us away. Move us away from here, Lord. We got to get away from these people, please, you know. Well, in about 2-3 months later, my husband was working for a corporate organization, by the way, making a lot of money. He gets a phone call, and the phone call says, will you take a position in Guam? Does anybody know where Guam is? I didn't. He's like, oh, you want to go live on a tropical island? I'm like, where? Hawaii? No, Guam. Guam. Where is Guam? Okay, I had asked the Lord to move me away, okay? It's literally 8,000 miles away from Los Angeles. It's like, okay, Lord, maybe 200 miles, but 8,000? No. Do you trust me? Do you trust me, Sandy? Yes, Lord. And I had that faith to know this was a direct, I mean, I was a baby believer, brand new, you know, and okay, Lord, this is what you've brought to us, so, you know, I'll go. So we went. There we go to Guam. We lived in Guam for 5 years. My husband accepted the Lord in Guam. We were baptized in the Philippine Sea together. God used that in miraculous ways in my life because I stepped out in faith. I didn't bargain with God. I didn't say, no, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I wanted to, you know, but we went ahead and went. God blessed us. Shortly after that, he moved us to upstate New York. We went from tropical island to blizzard, okay? It was just crazy, but it was good. God was good. We got involved in a ministry there. My kids were in Christian school. It was just, I was taken care of. I was comfortable. I was very, very comfortable. Then my husband, I started praying. We were involved with our church and started praying for ministry. You know, what does the Lord have for us? I want to do work for him. So I started praying for that. God is so good to answer prayer. Watch out what you pray for. Started praying for ministry. So my husband comes to me one day. He said, you know, I really feel like the Lord is calling me into full-time ministry. Praise the Lord, honey. That's awesome. What do you want to do? Well, I want to sell the house and go to Bible college. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what we'll do, you know. So I went because I really felt this was an answer to prayer. So we sold our house in upstate New York and moved to northeast Pennsylvania, just as cold. And he went to Bible college and seminary in northeast Pennsylvania, and he went to school to become a pastor. He took a small pastorate at a church in Pennsylvania, and we pastored there, and it was just wonderful, and I loved being a pastor's wife. Then he felt called back here to California. We're from Los Angeles area. My in-laws are here. My mother was here. He says, I really feel the Lord has prepared us to go back home. Okay. I will follow you wherever you're the leader of this home. I will follow you. So we came back. We came back here, and I said I would come, but honestly, I came holding on to the past. We lived on a Bible college campus. We were dorm parents when my husband was in school. We lived in a bubble. We lived in a Christian bubble. I didn't know the real world. I was scared to death to leave that bubble. I had nothing but Christians around me. All my friends were Christians. That was it. But I didn't want to come, and I would say for the first year, I was angry. I was like, Lord, why would you put us there? And why couldn't we stay there, Lord? Why couldn't we stay there? You know? And so I was angry. And then my mom passed away just like that. I'm like, I came all the way back here and then you take my mom from me. So I start with this bitterness and this, you know, discontentment, these trials coming my way, not finding joy and persevering, but giving up. Finally, I gave it to the Lord. And as my heart was like really not in content, you know, I wasn't content. My husband and I started talking and praying about stepping out of ministry. My husband at this time was pastoring, he was actually an associate pastor at a very small church in Pico Rivera. And so I said, yeah, I think that's right. So we stepped out of that ministry, and that's when we started coming to Calvary Chapel La Mirada. So this was probably about 4 years ago. Shortly after that time, I just was like, I just felt wrong. I felt wrong. I could see it in my husband. He wasn't right. There was something going on with him. He wasn't content. And I felt like a fish that's swimming upstream. I felt like I was just constantly battling this, you know, what something wasn't right. Then drinking started. We started with this. And I'm going to share some things with you, and I'm going to share it in this room. And there's some pretty, pretty serious things with me, and I share them in confidence. My husband gave me, he gave me the freedom to share to this week, and he said, I want you to use this for the glory of God. So that started, the drinking started. About that time, he started having job problems. It just was his job was causing him some situations, blah, blah, blah. The drinking started even more. I was very uncomfortable with it, and it was just like, what is going on in my life? This is like crazy. I just didn't get it. Then, shortly after that, my youngest daughter, who's 22, started having health issues. She started her senior year of high school having these serious health issues. And they progressed and progressed and progressed. Well, now they've diagnosed her with epilepsy. She started having grand mal seizures. And my daughters, my girls, are my, they're my life. I mean, I just, you know, just to see my daughter, my little girl, go from a healthy athlete, varsity soccer player, to a child who can't even run up and down our stairs without going out of breath, knowing something is seriously wrong and they cannot figure it out. It just, I'm like, what is wrong? I want control. I want to make her well. I want to know, God, what's going on with my child? Why is this happening? To this day, doctors have no answer. She's on medication for epilepsy. She's at least got her license back, wasn't dry. They took her license away for 8 months, you know, and she's just full of life. She loves life. But so we started going through that. Well, during this time also, my husband started drinking more, and it got out of control. And I won't give you the gory details because it is ugly, but there were missed holidays, missed birthdays, missed years. It was just... it was horrible. It was horrible. And I'm like, no, this doesn't happen to us. This cannot be happening to us, Lord. My husband's a pastor. This can't be happening to us. And I begged him to get help. I begged him. He wouldn't even tell our pastor. And I couldn't tell our pastor because I wanted to honor him. I wanted to be free. He wouldn't. Nope. I have to be able to control this. I'm weak. If I can't control this, then I'm weak. And it was just horrific. Got so bad. He finally, and I honestly believe, and I know this, I know it was the Lord. I cried to the Lord. I cried, please, Lord, bring him to a point to share with our pastor. And one day I was dropping him off at work because, by the way, my husband ended up having a seizure. But come to find out, it was related to the alcoholism. So I was dropping him off at work, and he said, give me Pastor Brian's phone number at the office. I want to call him and talk to him. And I just started to cry. It was just like, praise the Lord. Okay, so I give him Pastor Brian's number. He calls Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian immediately comes to his office, meets with him. He shares everything with him. And I'm praising the Lord. And then I go home, and he is drunker than a skunk. So it's like, what is going on here? He's killing himself. So physical things started happening. He's physically dying, spiritually dying. And I'm like, what do we do? Okay. So we decided we had to do an intervention with him. I don't know if, have any of you ever seen that show, Intervention? Okay, I had watched that show in the past, and I used to watch that show, and I'd be like, how do people get to that point? And it was me. It was me. It was like, anybody can get to that point. Anybody can get to that point. And so we have some very dear friends of ours that live in New York, and they flew out to encourage him, to help. They met with Pastor Brian. They met with my husband's abuse counselor. And we thought it was going to all be good. It wasn't. Eventually, we thought, well, we're just going to have to go ahead with the intervention. But praise the Lord, my husband said, I'll go into rehab. So he did. He went into detox. He went into rehab for a month. And the Lord used him in great ways. He got to that rehab center. Wouldn't you know, in that rehab center, there's pastors. There's all kinds of people in ministry. He was like, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. No, you know, he's like, it's like he had lost sight of the fact that we are all flesh. We all wage war. The spirit and flesh, they war. He had lost sight of that, and he was depending on his own power. And there's a verse that he wanted me to share with you. I went over this with him. He says, I want you to share this with the ladies. And I said, okay, so I will. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is the verse that he's clinging to right now. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There's always a way out. This world holds so much temptation for us. It holds so much what we think is allure, things that can grab us and take us in. But you know what? God's no. He says, I'm faithful. I'll give you a way out. And my husband, you know, as we were, he was sharing this with me. I went to visit him his first weekend that I could go. He had to be there so many days without visitors. And I went to visit him, and he's like, I've read this verse over and over many times, but listen, I want to share things with you about this. And it's so awesome to see how God now is just reopened his eyes. Like it's, you know, it's like he's speaking to him in a whole new way now, because he has now put on the spirit. The spirit has always been in him, but he was grieving the Holy Spirit. It was just like, he was just like, you know, not able to understand. But like he told me, he said, you know, not only is this verse for me, he says, but he said, I think this is meant for you too. He says, in the fact that I could easily be tempted to not find the way out. He calls me his little miracle. He's like, you're my little miracle. If you would have given up on me, if you would have walked out on me, which I did, by the way, I left him many times, and but I came back. You know, if I would have just given up, he said, I would, you know, I would probably be dead in any time. You know, he said, you had the faith, and he calls me his little miracle. I'm like, it was only the Lord, you know. And people that know me, they're like, Antoinette, she tells me, wow, Sandy, you hit it well. You've held up well. I'm like, only by God's grace. God is so good. He is so good. He is so much bigger than my problems. He is so much bigger than any of our problems. And his grace is unending. It is always there for us, always there. We just need to take it, receive it. You know, we don't. We think we need to do all these things. My husband thought he couldn't go do this because that would show weakness. No, it was there the whole time for him. He could do it. And we have that. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're in ministry. You know, sometimes I want all of you women to know, we look at people, we only see the outward. The Lord sees the heart. And we only see the outward, and we think, oh, they're so spiritual. I could never be like that. Oh, my goodness. You know, they got it so together. No. You know what? We all have problems. I mean, we all have things that we need to wrestle with God with. We all have things that we need to. I am right now. I've shared this. I have a couple ladies I've in this room today, that Rita and Carla, that I've shared this with. That it's. I want to give it up so bad. I live in fear. I live in fear that my husband's going to drink again. I don't want to live in fear. I want the Lord to take that fear from me. I don't want to. I want to surrender that. This weekend, I'm surrendering him. I'm surrendering that. I don't want to live in that fear anymore. I want the life that the Lord has for us now. I want that stuff. But I call him and I'm like, listening to, no, he sounds all right, but wait, maybe he sounds, you know, it's just, I don't want to live like that. I want, so I'm wrestling with God right now to get that out. There's something, I don't know if any of you have ever read, done any of these studies, Becoming a Woman of Freedom, Becoming a Woman of Purpose. I mean, I love them. They're great. I want to read this one little quote in here by Dan Alexander. I don't know if you know who he is, but it says, those who trust God most are those whose faith permits them to risk wrestling with him over the deepest questions of life. Good hearts are captured in a divine wrestling match. Fearful, doubting hearts stay clear of the mat. The commitment to wrestle will be honored by a God who will not only break, but bless. Jacob's commitment to wrestle with God resulted in the wounding of his thigh. He would never walk without a limp, but the freedom in his heart was worth the price of a shattered limb. We all have a limp. We all should be wrestling with God. I work at Biola University, and we had a chapel recently, and the guy talked about Jacob and his limp and this and that. And he said something, and this is the big thing in our office now. It's our theme. Don't trust anybody without a limp. Shouldn't that be on a T-shirt? Don't trust anybody without a limp. I mean, we need to be wrestling with God. We need to be willing to go to that point. You know, I'm wrestling with God right now. I'm wrestling with him, trying to give this up, trying to, you know, just be blessed. I want that blessing. I want that blessing, and it's there for me. I need to claim it. So in my desire to control all of this mess with my husband, you know, which the Lord is good. I mean, the healing is ongoing. It's continuing on, and I am praising him for that. It's only through God's grace. When I was desiring to control all this, it brought me to this breaking point. I mean, I need to be broken. I need to be broken and wrestle. So let me ask you this. What does control bring? When we really try to control things in our life, and I think it was Stacy that addressed this, when we try to control things in our life, it brings fear, right? It brings doubt. It brings anxiety. It brings pain. We can be physically sick, like Lisa said. There's a number of things that it brings, this control thing. This, we want to control, you know. Go ahead.
Surrender.
Yeah. It brings us to a breaking point of surrender, which is where we need to be, exactly. So it does. This whole issue of control brings us to these points, you know, whatever it be. We're all at different places in that breaking. So it's just amazing how God works. But so when I look back on all that, as I prepared for this lesson, and I'm like, Lord, you know, how could I have done this different? I mean, what can we do as women? What can we do when we're thinking of control? What could we have done to surrender it? How could I have surrendered it better to God? Me, I did it in my own power. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know, I got to make sure that he's not doing this. I got to call him. I got to whatever. No. First of all, I need to know who I'm fighting. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5:8. Okay, 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to kill us. He wants to kill my husband, my marriage, my children. Not necessarily kill me so I die, but he wants to kill the life in us. He wants to kill the joy. He wants to take any and suck everything from us. That is what he does. So we need to be self-controlled and we need to be alert. He's out there. He's not going to give up easily. Not at all. And then let's turn to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have an adversary. He is out to get us. We can't see him. Who was it? Somebody today, was it Stacy that shared that? Said something about who we're fighting against. You know, it's not seen. We're fighting against things that are big. We need to be fully on guard. We need to, and this whole, from 10 on, from Ephesians 6, 10 on, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. We need to be prepared for battle. We're in a battle. We are in a daily battle. And we need to be walking in a way that we are capable and able to be ready at all times. We need to be ready, and we need to be ready to take up arms, do whatever it takes. So that is who we are fighting. The other thing that we could do to surrender to God and to be able to surrender that control is we never want to give up, and we need to trust God. We need to trust God and know the power we have from Him. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, right? We need to claim that. I have a power that's great. I can walk confidently knowing that. I don't need to fear. I am equipped. I am equipped. Let's go to 1 John 4:4. It says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Right? We can be overcomers. We have a power. Greater is He. Out of the way, Satan. It's just like, I am so tired of him. I am just so sick and tired of him, messing around with my life. It's like, I want to get mad now, And I'm so done in it. This is a verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And Stacy shared this earlier. It's so funny because a lot of the verses that are being shared, I'm like, wow, Lord, that's just confirmation. That's just confirmation. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a dear verse to me. It just got me through many, 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 many months. I repeated this verse over and over and over and over. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all my heart, not just part of it. I need to, somebody was talking, maybe it was Julie, I don't know, about God's heart, Christ's home, where we hide those little areas of our life. This is an area of my life that was hidden. It's open now to all of you. I mean, victory, praise the Lord. My husband has accountability now, Let it out, put it in the light, So, trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't need to hide those places. I need to trust him and lean not on my own understanding. My understanding is so limited. God says, greater are my thoughts are greater than your thoughts. My ways are greater than your ways. We can't understand God. I don't need to try to understand. I need to trust. And then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I need to acknowledge him in everything. I need to constantly be about his work, about his ways. I need to constantly be acknowledging him. So that verse is just a dear, dear verse to me, because it holds all that right there, And it's just, you get these things, and I really recommend that you have a life verse. This is not my life verse, by the way. My life verse is Isaiah 40:31, but this was just a dear verse to me. Scripture. Hide it in your heart. He tells us, hide it in your heart. And there's a reason, because we need that. We need to draw on that. That is life. That is life. So, you need to, scripture, memorizing it, having it just ready. If you can take a scripture a week and just put it on a card, put it on your mirror, put it on your dashboard, wherever you always look, on your computer screen at work, that verse is in front of you all week long. You're going to memorize that verse. And then after you got that memorized, do another one. It's just so good to have that. For a long time, I did that. For a long time, I didn't. And that's when I started to struggle. That's when you start to struggle, when you drift away. It's a slow drifting too. It's not like, boom, suddenly I'm down. Have you, any of you read the Screwtape Letters? C.S. Lewis? Talks about that you're on a slippery slope. It's not like boom, you're just boom down. It's a gradual descent. That's the way Satan likes it. Because if you saw what was going on, you'd be like, oh, stop. No, I'm not going over there. But it's so gradual, before you know it, it's there. It's right there. And you've lost control, and you were trying to be in control. Give it up. Just give it up. We don't have control. It's all in God's hands. Trust him. We also need to, as I was saying, know God's word, and we need to give everything to him. And Lisa said tonight she's going to talk about holding for the Lord to take our thoughts captive. I'm so excited about that. Last night when I went forward, I was like, Lord, please take my thoughts captive. Please, I don't want to worry. I don't want to fear. And she said she's going to talk about that. So we need to give everything to him. We need to know this. This, my Bible is falling apart. My husband told me, you need a new Bible. I said, no, it has all my notes. What do? You can't, I can't ever get rid of this. I don't care. I'll tape it. It has duct tape and everything on it. But I love this. You know your word. Know God's word. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5:6-7. We need to know what God's word says about his care for us. We need to claim that. In our times of trials, in our times of control, when we're losing control, which we never had anyways, we need to know God's word. When we're so burdened with cares and anxiety and doubt and fear and all that, we need to know what his word says about that. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves, therefore. Everybody knows when there's a therefore. Well, I don't know if you do. When there's a therefore in the Bible, that means there's a before. What's before that? What does it say before therefore, right? Okay. It says, humble yourselves. We need to be a humble people. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all, not some, all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Not just some, not just my husband, not just my daughters. My oldest daughter's moving to Washington. What's with that? Lord, I don't want, she's my best friend. She, it's like, I'm just going to cry, but I'll cast it on him. He'll take care of her. Maybe she'll find a husband up there. That's what I'm praying for. So anyways, I don't know. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't know. Cast it on him. He cares for me. Why do I try to carry it? I don't know. Let's go to Psalm 94:19. I love this. 94:19. Does anybody, I have only the NIV. I'd like to, I did pull my parallel Bible out and I can't remember what it said in the other ones, but oh well, we'll go with the NIV. Psalm 94:19 says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. I could be so overburdened. Anxiety was great within me. Your consolation brought joy to my soul. I could be so burdened with that anxiety, and I could still find joy because the Lord is the one that gives it to me. Isn't that amazing? In the world, people that don't know the Lord, they don't have this. It's so sad, It's like they carry all this, and they're just so burdened. No wonder they're so mean, It's just, they don't have, they can't. Yeah, we do have problems. We do have issues. But you know what? The Lord is with us, So we don't need to be anxious because he carries it for us, We can find that, Let's go to Isaiah 41:10, it says, so do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is with us. He is not going to leave us. He's not going to drop us. He's not going to say, enough of you. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. He says he'll uphold us with his righteous right hand. It's just awesome. And then it says in Psalm 55:22, if you want to just quickly go over there. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. We might stumble. We might get tripped up. But before we hit the ground, he's going to catch us. He tells us that. He's not going to let us fall. He's going to catch us. These things in God's word, it's like, claim these things. Live by them. Claim them. Hold them as your own. The other thing we need to really, really do as we're dealing with the issue of control and surrendering to the Lord is pray. Prayer. What a privilege it is to approach a Father. That is a privilege. And we can do it with confidence, In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, you can write it down. You don't have to go there if you don't want. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Everything. He says everything. You know, he and Rita prayed with me last night, and she prayed this prayer about he's a God of detail. He will take care of every detail. He cares about everything, the little things, the big things, everything. Give it all to him. Petition him. Go to him with thanksgiving, knowing that he is going to take care of it. And then Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do. Before I read this, I want to tell you guys, this prayer here is something that there were times, and I don't know if any of you have ever been to this point, but I had gotten to the point where, Lord, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know how to pray. My daughter, I remember one time driving to the hospital, rushing, praying. Lord, I don't know what's going on with her. She's in the emergency room again. I just, you know, please heal my daughter. I don't know what to say. Just heal her. I don't know, God. You know, have any of you, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, gotten to the point where it's like, I don't know what to say, God. You know my heart. I just take it, please. You know, help me. That is when I found comfort in Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. How awesome is that? We have a Holy Spirit, a God that loves us so much that he intercedes for us. He goes and petitions for us before the Lord. We don't even know what he's saying. We don't even know. Just like, God, you know. And that is going on. That blows my mind. It gives me chills. It's like, you know, it's just amazing. So, and of course, Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Confidently. We don't need to go meekly. Oh, gosh, I know. I don't know if you know, we have confidence. We can go confidently to the Lord and he hears us. And the other thing we need to do besides know who we're fighting, trust God, never give up, know God's word and give everything to him, cast it on him. And we also said we need to pray and we also need to fellowship. We need fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with believers. And Stacy went over Matthew 11:28, and it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Does everybody know what a yoke is? It's used for animals. Okay. It's used for animals. Two animals side by side, they're yoked together so they can work together. So that helps them to be in step, to work together. If one animal wants to go left, the other one wants to go right, they're going to have a hard job getting it done. The Lord says, take my yoke. He wants to put that on us. He's right here. It's like that dog Lisa was talking about with the collar in its mouth walking next to its master. That's what the Lord is. Wants you to walk right next to him with his yoke. It's light. It's not heavy. It's a light burden. So that is what a yoke is. So he has us yoked to him. We are yoked to the Lord. So why do we keep wanting to fight and make it so hard? You know, it's just like, let it go. Right? Let it go. And then with believers, we need to be in fellowship with other believers. Women, we need women. All of you here, I believe the Lord brought you here for a reason. Like I said, I shared some really tender things with you, some things that are just huge in my life. I didn't share them for people to go out and say, oh my gosh, did you know that her husband was a pastor and he's an alcoholic and blah, blah, blah. And no, this is to encourage you. This is for you to know that nobody is above sin. Anybody, everybody's carrying something. Your friends, you should be able to share confidently with your friends in confidence. What you share with them should be held in confidence. Every woman needs, I have a best friend in New York, the one I told you flew all the way out here during my time of need, got on a plane in the next day, she was here. For 3 months, she was on the phone with me every single day, three times a day, praying with me, encouraging me, you know, just crying with me. I needed her, the day I needed her, she said, I'll be there tonight from New York. We all need people in our lives like that. And I knew I could share with her, and it wasn't going to go to anyone other than the Lord. You know, we need that. So I share these things in confidence with you, and I pray that you would share with those women that you know confidently, in confidence. Not only share with them, but let them share with you. We need to give both ways. You know, your pastor's wife, she needs someone that she can be, have confidently go to, know that it will be held in confidence. So we need to really do that. And James 5:16a. Let's turn over to James 5:16. And I'm just going to read the beginning of verse 16. It says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." We need to do this for each other. We need to be able to confess to each other, share with each other, pray for each other. We need healing. We need each other. I gave you a rock, and that wasn't to stone me with. I told Carly, make sure when you hand those out, they're not going to throw them at me. What I would like you to do right now is I'm going to give you 5 minutes. We're going to end with this. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And I think at the bottom of your handout, it says what something you want to surrender to the Lord, something that you are holding on to so tightly, that you are trying to control so tightly that you need to let go of. It's like you're driving that car. Oh, Lord, no, he's prying your fingertips off, and you're just not wanting to let go of that wheel. It's like, uh-uh. But, you know, he's saying it's time. It's time, daughter. It's time to let go of that. I would like you to take 5 minutes, spend a little time in prayer asking the Lord to really reveal to you what it is he wants you to let go of today, what he wants you to surrender that you've been trying to control. Write it on that piece of paper. Then I'm going to, in 5 minutes when we're done, I'll ask you guys, I'll pray, and then I'm going to ask you guys to come up and take that rock. And that's going to represent your burden, what you want to surrender to the Lord. And I want you to put it in here. We're baptized, right? When we're baptized, we're dunked, right? Some of us need to be left under longer than others, but I was under for a while. But anyways, we come up. We're new creation in Christ when we come up, right? But these burdens that we carry, we want to give them to the Lord, and we don't want to take them back. We want them to be covered, and they're going to be covered. So when you let them go, I want you to let them go. Let them be covered. And we're going to put them in there. So let's take 5 minutes, then I'll pray. And then as you feel led, you can come up and put your burdens and give them to the Lord today. Okay? Thank you.